Once upon a time, there was a farmer called Mr. Pennington, Mr. Donald Pennington. Mr. Pennington was a gentleman farmer. That is, he lived in the city and commuted out to his farm at weekends because that was the way Mrs. Pennington wanted things. Mr. Pennington would have liked to live in the country all the time because Mr. Pennington was a poetical type farmer, even in the rain. In fact, whenever it rained, Mr. Pennington would go outside and look at the flowers and say,
"There is a flower, the Essa Celandine, that shrinks like many more from cold and rain and dwells beside the river Duff."
Moreover, Mr. Pennington could never hear a cuckoo without at once speaking to it like this.
"Oh, cuckoo, shall I call thee bird or but a wandering voice whom there are none to praise and very few to love?"
You can easily see that Mr. Pennington was undoubtedly the most poetical type farmer you or I ever heard of. Luckily, Mr. Pennington's wife, whose name was Mrs. Pennington, was not at all the poetical type. If Mr. Pennington had met a friend on one of his walks in the intervals between listening to cuckoos and looking at lesser celandines, Mr. Pennington would say to his good lady, Mrs. Pennington,
"I ran into Matthew this morning. We talked with open heart and tongue, affectionate and true, a pair of friends. Though I was young and Matthew 72, and fair as a star when only one is shining in the sky."
If you must quote Wordsworth, Donald, you might at least get it right.
Yeah, you're wrong there, my love. Many other poet, yes, get it right by all means, but not Wordsworth. As a matter of fact, Wordsworth is vastly improved by misquotation, a claim which cannot, I think, be made on behalf of any other poet of comparable reputation. Wordsworth, you see, my love, he's not in any ordinary sense
do
of the word.
Do stop babbling about Wordsworth, Donald, and listen to me for a moment.
Very well, my love. I am all ears.
I have purchased a goose.
A goose?
Yes, Donald, a goose. A live goose.
What on earth for?
We shall keep the bird till Christmas. We shall then kill it and eat it.
What shall we do with it in the meantime?
In the meantime, the bird's status will be that of household pet. I think we ought to call it Emily.
Are you sure?
What do you mean? Am I sure?
Are you sure it's an Emily? Mightn't it be a Robert, say?
I think not. In any case, we're perfectly safe if we call it Emily. If we call it Robert and it then proceeds to lay eggs, that would be a tiresome complication. On the other hand, Emily will be entirely appropriate, eggs or no eggs.
Your logic overwhelms me, my love. Where is Emily?
In a crate under the sink, see?
Oh, yes.
You can let her out after lunch. It'll be something for you to do.
All right. Hello, Emily. Nice goose. Good goose. Oh, my word, isn't she enormous? More like a young elephant than a bird. Hail to thee, blithe spirit, bird thou never wert.
After lunch, Mr. Pennington took Emily out into the yard. She was indeed a fine-looking bird. Mr. Pennington was very pleased with her and addressed her several times by name as follows.
Emily, good goose. Hello, Emily. Nice Emily.
Then Mrs. Pennington addressed him by name.
Donald!
Yes, dear?
Stop talking to that silly goose and finish your job.
What job, my love?
Clear this smelly old crate out of here.
Yes, dear.
So Mr. Pennington said goodbye to Emily for the moment.
Goodbye, Emily, for the moment.
And went in and got the crate.
Dear me, it's very heavy.
Is it?
Oh, my word, yes. And there's something rattling in it.
What, dear?
I said it rattles. Listen. What can it be?
How should I know?
It's something under this straw.
What is?
Whatever it is that rattles. I think it's pebbles.
Don't talk nonsense, dear. How could it be pebbles?
I don't know, but it is. Oh, I found one. My word, it's heavy, too. Come over to the window and look at it.
I'm busy, dear. I don't want to look at pebbles.
But this pebble was in Emily's crate.
I don't care, Donald. Do please hurry up and take that crate away and sweep up the straw, too, when you've done that.
Maud! Maud! It isn't a pebble at all.
What is it, then?
Well, now I've got it into the light. You know what it is? It's an egg.
I was right about it being an Emily, then.
But, Maud, look at it. Feel it. This is a golden egg. Our goose has laid a golden egg. Goosey, goosey, gander, whither do you wander? Upstairs and downstairs and Laying golden eggs all over the place.
Donald, there's no excuse for misquoting that thing. It isn't Wordsworth.
Isn't it? It sounds like him.
Donald, please pull yourself together. What are we going to do about Emily?
Good question, my dear. A very good question. I'm glad you asked that question. It shows you've been thinking. Goosey, goosey, gander, whither do you want...
Well, what are we going to do?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Must do something. That bird is worth a fortune.
How do you know?
Donald, don't be tiresome.
How do you know Emily laid the egg? It's only circumstantial evidence. How do you know somebody didn't put it in the crate?
Why would anyone want to do that?
As a hoax. Perhaps some merry fellow playing a lively jig.
Don't be preposterous. The thing's worth thousands of dollars.
Then let's sell it.
Do you really think we ought?
I wouldn't have said so if I didn't think so. However, it's up to you. It's your goose.
Next morning, Mr. and Mrs. Pinnington found another fine golden egg in the garden. So evidently it wasn't a hoax, nor was some merry fellow playing a lively jape.
Look! Here's another golden egg!
We'll have to keep Emily indoors from now on. It wouldn't do to have Emily laying golden eggs all over the place. The neighbors might object. Not everybody is fond of goose eggs.
And that very morning, Mr. and Mrs. Pinnington went into town to see the people in the bank about the two golden eggs.
Good morning. I want to see the manager, please.
In a flash, the manager was standing in front of them.
Good morning, madam. Good morning, sir.
Are you the manager?
Yes, madam. What can I do for you? A small loan, perhaps, to tide over some trifling financial embarrassment? Only 8% interest and absolutely not a vestige of security whatsoever. Simply your word is good enough for us if backed by the signatures of 25 prominent citizens.
Thank you very much, but not today. As a matter of fact, we want to sell something.
You want to sell something?
We want to sell some eggs.
Eggs?
Eggs. Goose eggs.
This is a bank. You will find a grocer in the next block. I wish you a very good morning.
Well, actually, these are golden eggs.
Golden?
Made of gold. Look.
Gold? Good heaven. Where did you get these?
Our goose laid them.
Her name is Emily.
A likely tale. Hands up!
Hands up!
You two are going to stay here till the police arrive.
What have we done wrong?
Don't you know it's forbidden for private persons to have any gold? You criminals!
Where did you get them? Come on, where did you get them?
From Emily.
What's her name and address?
Confess and you'll get off like...
You'll only get 20 years if you confess.
Emily. Emily is our pet goose. She laid them. She is the goose that lays the golden eggs. Her name is Emily, and we own her. That's all there is to it.
A very stubborn case. Hit him!
Oh, a very stubborn case. Hit her!
Stop hitting me. I told you the truth. We got them from the goose. She laid them. Emily laid them. This Emily sounds like a fence to me.
Me too. Hit her again.
Hit him again.
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 After several hours of this sort of closely reasoned questioning, it was decided that the Pinningtons were telling the truth.
Do you know what my angle on this case is?
No, what?
My angle is they're telling the truth.
So all charges of barratry, arson, treason, and rape were dropped, and fresh charges of cruelty to animals, undermining the confidence of the nation and defacing the coinage were laid. Also, Emily herself was sent for. She was to be taken along to see the district attorney to the particular amusement of the jaded court reporters, who were not accustomed to see birds being taken in to see the D.A.
What the heck you got there, Clancy?
Use your eyes, can't you?
You're gonna be a farmer, Clancy?
Yeah. This is the goose that lays the golden eggs, boys.
Yeah, and I'm Little Red Riding Hood.
No, I'm Little Red Riding Hood. You're Bo Peep.
All right, break it up now, you bums. Break it up. There you are. Now you've upset her with your carrying on.
Yeah, what about your hollering?
Here, look out. Boys, I think she's going to lay another egg.
You've laid an egg already, Clancy.
Yuck.
Mind you don't get the bird, Clancy. Yuck.
Watch out, boys. She really is laying another.
By golly, he's right. What do you know?
Put her down on the desk over here.
All right. Stand back, everybody. Give the lady air. That's better.
Open one of the drawers for her to lay in.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, here we are.
I think she's ready.
It went clean through the drawers.
Well, what do you expect? It's heavy. It's a golden egg.
You're darn right it's heavy. Damn near broke my toe.
Yeah, I should have moved your great flat foot. All right, boys, move over. Now, this concludes the entertainment. Come on, Emily. You're going to see the DA. Come on, old girl.
Well, slung, old man. Bye, Clancy.
Come on, boys. Come along, Emily, now. Good, good.
Now then, who's got the egg?
Here, what about that egg?
What egg, Clancy? I haven't seen any egg.
Anybody here seen any egg?
No, I haven't seen
any. Come on, you bums. Which one of you bums has got it?
Not me.
Yeah, you. What's that you got under your necktie?
That's just my Adam's apple,
Come
sir.
Come here, wouldn't you, bum? Ah, I thought as much. Shame on you, stealing the poor creature's egg. Have you no respect for the sacred feelings of a mother?
Well,
be golly, I ought to run you in for egg napping.
And so the great world got to hear about Emily. Though the editors were rather skeptical at first, editors have a basic philosophy of skepticism.
You're drunk.
I am a member of Brothers of Temperance.
Then you're nuts.
It wasn't long before even the most skeptical editors checked back with the DA's office and were finally persuaded.
Well, I don't know what we can do about it, but I know what I'd like to do about it. I don't know what the readers are going to say, though.
Read all about it! Goose lays golden eggs!
Goose lays golden eggs? Fancy that!
Goose lays golden eggs? Oh, what is the world coming to?
Tripe! Goose lays golden eggs, indeed. I'll write to the editor. I'll goose him.
That started it. The big Emily boom was on. The first thing to do, of course, was to make sure that Mr. and Mrs. Piddington got nothing out of it. So a special company was quickly formed.
The Golden Egg Corporation, a very attractive investment.
Offices were rented.
Come and see our magnificent suite of handsome modern offices to be built within 6 months.
And the proper action was taken against Mr. and Mrs. Piddington.
Caveat.
Whereas.
Hereinafter.
Sorry in the first part.
Summons.
Writ.
Injunction.
And goodness knows what else besides.
Whereas the said Donald Priddington and the said Mott Priddington did unlawfully, illegally, and with malicious intent find and discover themselves to be in possession of one gray goose, marked Exhibit A, and hereinafter to be referred to as Emily, actually the property of the Golden Egg Corporation, to the great detriment and malfeasance of the financial profits, emoluments, and general accruments of the said Golden Egg Corporation. Therefore...
Of course, Mr. and Mrs. Piddington had nothing to say against such a complicated charge as that, and in due course, the jury delivered a verdict of...
Guilty!
Whereupon the judge said...
It seems, prisoners, that your goose is cooked.
There was laughter in court in which the learned judge could not but join.
And you are hereby sentenced to 107 years hard labor each, without the option... And the court sincerely trusts that this will be a lesson to you.
So, Mr. and Mrs. Piddington, who first discovered Emily, were put away in jail, which they very richly deserved for having dared to meddle with the Golden Egg Corporation and all its peaceful shareholders, while Emily's interests were being carefully looked after by the splendid big company. You will be glad to hear that Mr. Piddington was still very resigned and poetical, though Mrs. Piddington, who was not a poetical type, was a little bit peeved, because after all, they hadn't done anything wrong. Let's say goodbye to Mr. and Mrs. Piddington in prison. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And remember that stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Love die not honor more.
Who's she?
Who's who?
Honor more.
And there they are in prison, and I'm afraid that's the last we shall hear of Mr. Piddington, the poetical type farmer, and his wife, the non-poetical type Mrs. Piddington. But Emily grew more and more fat and successful and popular every day. She laid more and more golden eggs every day, and grew stronger and healthier every day. Doctors examined her to try and find out how she did it.
Say,
honk.
J99.
Honkity honk.
And dentists examined her too, for that matter.
Open wide, eh?
But in the end, they all had to confess themselves.
Baffled. How about you?
Oh, yes, yes. And, of course, there was a great to-do among all the scientists. All the scientists who were not either in jail or testifying before royal commissions got together and examined Emily with X-rays and other clever things. They were both very surprised.
How very surprising. Mutual. I can't see a thing.
Nor me.
I wondered if it's switched on. Have a look.
All right. No, it isn't.
Then let's switch it on.
You think we ought? I mean, there isn't an order in council or anything.
What if there is? Let's be devils.
All right. Let's. There we are.
I can see now.
Let me look. Let me look, let me look.
There. See? Eggs.
Oh, yes. Dozens of them, I say. Isn't this rare sport? I don't care if there is an order in council, do you?
I don't. It still beats me how she does it.
Does what?
I mean to say you put in bran mash at one end, and out comes gold at the other, you know.
So it does.
Mr. Fishbaum thinks that it's the essential equipoise of the principal chromosomes that's causing the marked torrefaction of the ovarian products. Or to borrow Dr. Clunk's felicitous expression, the aureovulation.
Quite right. And I don't understand it either.
You know, really what she does is transmute the bran mash into gold. It's really an atomic process.
All right, men. That's all we wanted to know.
The police. Then there was an order in council.
Every word you said has been taken down by this special typewriter, hasn't it?
Yes, indeed.
You're accused of conducting illegal atomic research and discussing priceless secrets in front of an unauthorized goose, namely Emily.
But she lays the eggs herself. Emily knows all about it.
These days, a secret is a secret, no matter who knows all about it. Load the weasels with chains and pop them in the Bastille.
Emily got more and more famous every day. Soon people started naming things after her.
Have you read the Emily collection of hideously horrific, terrifying stories? Each story guaranteed to raise horrible Emily brand goose pimples all over you.
Try the Emily brand savory sauce. Contains no ingredients whatever and so can do no possible harm to anybody. It's sauce for the goose, says Emily.
Try the Emily brand sleep easy goose down quilt. Look for the genuine peck mark on each and every label.
Try the Emily Golden Egg Omelette Mix. You can beat it, friends, but you can't beat it.
The dividends of the Golden Egg Corporation went up and up.
1%, 2%, 3, 4, 10, 50%. What do you know? Oh, 100. No, 1,000. 10,000%! Zowie!
While a lot of others dropped down and down.
Consolidated gold, down 3 points.
Amalgamated gold, down 30 points.
United gold, down 300 points.
And this made a lot of people hate poor Emily and envy her own little accomplishment. Usually these nasty people were a lot of nasty men who stood around ticker tape machines all day.
See that, T.R.? United Gold's nosedive 300 points.
Good Lord, J.J., again?
Again, T.R. This is the fourth straight day United Gold's nosedive 300 points.
What are we going to do, J.J.?
One of us, T.R., must commit suicide. Oh,
I see that, J.J., but which one?
Well, let's toss a coin, T.R. Yeah, but do you happen to have one on you? I only carry $100 bills.
Well, I carry a $10 gold piece to remind me of my early poverty.
Fine, T.R. We'll toss that. It's heads.
What does it mean, J.J.? What does it mean? Do I win or do I lose?
You lose, old man.
Oh.
There, bear up. I wish it could have been some other way, but it's too late now. Take this pearl-handled gold revolver.
Don't mention gold.
It's only gold plate. There. Let me help you. I'll see you make page one, old man.
May you find heart's ease at the rainbow's end, old man. Keep an eye on textiles preferred.
Hello, darling. Have a nice day at the office.
Horrible. T.R. shot himself today. Tomorrow it may be me. Who knows?
What on earth did he want to go and shoot himself for?
Well, he didn't want to. I practically had to pull the trigger for him. But that blasted goose is ruining the markets.
Why, it's a sweet goose. Did you see its cute little pictures in the paper?
No, and I don't want to. Blast that goose. Blast and obliterate that goose.
I think you're just being a big baby.
Do you realize that the market is being flooded with gold? If there's much more gold poured into the market, the entire world will be ruined. Poverty, desolation, famine everywhere. All because that blasted goose is flooding the world with gold.
I don't see that at all. Gold isn't any good to eat. What does it matter?
matter how much there is of it.
International finance isn't based on things to eat. International finance is based on gold.
Why?
Why? No, you don't understand, woman.
I certainly don't, and don't you start calling me a woman.
Sorry, dear. Gold is the basis of bargaining. There'd be no international finance, no business as we know it, if people ignored gold. Yeah, a piece of gold is worth a sewing machine, see? The same piece of gold is worth 100 dinners. Therefore, a sewing machine is worth 100 dinners. That's business.
Well, it isn't sense. If that's all the good your nasty old gold does, I'm glad Emily's spoiling it for you. A sewing machine isn't worth 100 dinners at all. Can 100 people eat a sewing machine? Answer me that.
Well,
not likely. That's where your gold gets you. Thinking there's going to be starvation because something goes wrong with gold. There'll only be starvation if something goes wrong with the food. Now, come and eat your dinner and stop talking nonsense. I only hope the poor bird doesn't die before you come to your senses.
Die? Die! That's an idea. Quite an idea. Die!
So a lot of the nasty men who stood around ticker tape machines all day, those that hadn't committed suicide, of course, started sending cables.
Take a cable.
And telephoning.
Get me long distance.
And traveling up and down.
Give me a reservation.
And in due course, they all met somewhere. Somewhere underground and slimy. Dozens and dozens of nasty men who stood around ticker tape machines from all over the world, they came. And do you know what they did? They started to plot and scheme to get rid of poor Emily. They wanted to kill the goose that laid the golden eggs. There. What do you think of that for ingratitude? Isn't it horrible? At last they drew up a plan.
Gentlemen, the plan will be as follows.
Good morning. I want to buy a goose, a live goose, like this photograph.
Yes. Why, that's Emily.
I know. My little granddaughter wanted Emily for her birthday. Wife and I thought we'd try to give her the next best thing.
Morning. I want to buy a knife.
Yes, sir. What sort of knife?
Well, I want a pretty long knife, nice and pointy. Oh, and make sure it's good and sharp, will you?
While all this terrible plotting was going on, poor Emily was getting more and more popular and more loved all over the world. No one even suspected the diabolical plot that was going on, except the people in it, of course. Emily fan clubs are growing up all over the place. Their badge was a little golden egg and their motto...
Up the golden egglets!
Emily was probably the most popular goose in the world. She was pin-up goose for hundreds of organizations.
The Grand Society of Capitoline Geese, opposed to Turkey for Thanksgiving, hereby elects Emily, the golden egg girl, pin-up goose for the coming year. Fellow members, 3 rousing honks for Emily.
Honk, honk, honk.
And a gosling.
Honk.
Then the nasty men who stood around the ticker tape machines hatched their fiendish plot. Late one night they sneaked into the big building where Emily lived. One of them carried the other goose tied up in a sack, and another carried the long knife, nice and pointy, which they had taken care was good and sharp. They tiptoed through the silent rooms, pausing only to bribe the watchman.
$1,000 bill. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Well, first to the left, and mind your step.
At last they came to the room where Emily was sitting fast asleep. In a second they grabbed her.
Grab her! That's right! Squawk! 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 You'll soon be...
Chopped off her head. Then they popped the other goose down in her place and rushed off home. They had killed Emily, the goose that laid the golden eggs, proving that in this world there is no gratefulness. But there are miracles.
Well, well, that was delicious. There's nothing I like so much as a tender, well-cooked goose.
Me too. Yes, sirree.
Say, what time is it?
I don't know. I'll switch on the radio.
Well, sir, I guess that just about ties up that golden egg affair. International finance can thank us for tonight's work. We have saved the business world as we know it.
Here is a special flash.
Officials inspecting Emily's home tonight on their nightly inspection tour were appalled to find blood and feathers all over the floor, and Emily looking strangely changed.
You bet, brother. You bet.
But to everybody's surprise and astonishment, Emily, when properly woken up, seemed healthier and more lovable than ever, and at once created a new record by laying in quick succession no fewer than 3 golden eggs, each studded with diamonds.
All About Emily, a fantastic adventure designed by Lister Sinclair, and first heard in this series on February the 25th, 1945, was part 2 of our 21st anniversary celebrations. Presented with Andrew Allen as the storyteller, Henry Comer and Alice Hill as Mr. and Mrs. Donald Preenington, and Ruth Springford as Emily. We gratefully acknowledge the contribution by the many talented performers who portrayed such an array of characters in the revival of these 2 now famous playlets. To our distinguished guest list, on this occasion we add the names of John Bethune, Sidney Brown, Fred D.L., Alan King, Paul Kligman, Beth Lockerbie, Jane Mallett, Arch McDonald, Douglas Master, Frank Perry, Claude Ray, George Robertson, Alfie Scott, Sandra Scott, John Scott, Tommy Tweed, and Alexander Webster. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Certain. Sound effects were by Bill Roach, and technical operation by Terry Rustling. The producer-director, Essa W. Young.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the Stage 55 series, Andrew Allen and his gifted and versatile musical director, Lucio Agostini, who together had won well-earned national and international recognition for their efforts, turned over the responsibility for the continuation of their creation to Morris Certain and me. Only too well do we know and humbly note with admiration and sincere gratitude that without the firm foundation the builders gave it, without the full and faithful support of our writers and performers, without the tolerance and interest of our shareholders, the listeners, we would not be here now to observe the coming of age of an institution to which so much has been given by so many for so long. We can only hope it will continue to serve as a source of information, inspiration, and entertainment for years to come. Many thanks for coming to our birthday party. We'll be glad to have you with us, in person and in spirit.
We cordially invite you to be with us again next week at the same time for another dramatic entertainment, yours for the listening to CBC Stage. Bill Lorne speaking. This is the CBC Radio Network.